There's a Bach. Beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. The Bach, beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, says, wants to understand why by Purim that the Kanas Chazal was to express the simcha of the Nes through Suda, Shalach Manis, etc. And by Chanukah, Chazal, we're not masakin any din of Suda, I'm masakin any din of the Tanas of Yarnim, Shalach Manis, Chazal masakin. We light the Neiris, and we say Halo Bahidra. So the Bach differentiates, and he says that by Purim, the Gezerah was on the goof of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, when Klal Yisrael was Zoichah, because they did a verse with their goof, they were netted from the Suda, they did a verse with their goof, the Gezerah was against the goof. Therefore, the Yeshua was on the goof, that they were supposed to be killed, they were saved. And we express it through things which are goof, which are gashmis, which are with the goof. Chanukah, there was no gzeira of death against Klal Yisrael. They could live as long as you want, willing to be a misyave, and you want to join the Yevonim, you can live however you want. You can live as long as you want. However, you can't do the avodah. They came up because Klal Yisrael was misrashal avodah, that they took the avodah less seriously than they should have. And therefore, the avodah was taken away from them, the Beis Hamikdash was removed from them. Because they were moshe nefesh, to get for Torah and mitzvahs, they got the avodah back, and therefore we express the thanks into the yonim of avodah, specifically yonim of avodah, and not through elements of the goof. That's what the Bach says. So the nakuda was hisrashus b'avodah, and the tikkun was mesiras nefesh. So there's a Gemara in Brachas. Gemara in Brachas talks about the concept of that kavod habrius is doicha lois hashesh b'torah. And where it says it means that kavod habrius overrides lois saser, overrides the rabbanans. The more it says, however, when it comes to rices, there's a concept of a pasuk. The more it brings up, there's a concept of ein etza, ein chacham, ein tuna, ein etza in the neged Hashem. So a person finds what's a climb a big day, push and a fill of a shuk, my timer, in chokhma, bein tuna, bein etzel, and egad Hashem. By the rices, komagam sheish chil Hashem, in chokhm kovid l'rav. So the more goes through this cloud when it applies, when it doesn't apply. Afterwards, the more brings to my son, amalir ha-papa labai. Rapapa asked the bai a question. Mai shno rishonim, yisrachash lo nisa. Mai shno anand, lo misrachash lo nisa. Why is it that the earlier generations miracles happen for them, and our generation miracles don't happen? Imishum tenuye, is it because of learning? Mishnei the Rav Yehuda kule tenuye ben Ezekin havu. The times of Rav Yehuda, that's the generation he's referring to, which is three generations earlier. They just focus on the Ezekin. They didn't, because of the tsars, etc. Their learning was limited. Their knowledge of Torah was limited to Seder and Ezekiel. We know all six Torah of Shas well. When you get the sugas of Uksin, he says, I really don't know this well. I feel like I'm overwhelmed, like it's a big tiva machloikas in Rav and Shmuel. Ich verstehe das nicht, it's beyond me. Vanan kom asninan Uksin tleisim asifte. We have 13 shiurim in the Uksin. But vila Rav Yehuda ki have a shol of chad masane osimich. When they used to be guys of Atinus. So the guys of Atinus, Bisman Chazal, because of lack of rain. So the first tanesim, there was no requirement of taking off the sandal. There was no issue of kneeling the sandal. But the second set of Tanesim, there was an issue of kneeling the sandal. Rav Yehuda would take off his shoe, and rain would start. That was it. That's all he needed. Gresham Isis. He didn't even finish the Tainas. He'd start afflicting himself. He would take off his shoe. Vanan kometzarino nafshin umetzabach kotzavschinen v'les the mashkachpon. We go through Tanesim, we scream out to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Rosh Hashanah doesn't listen. So we know much more learning than they do, but They're getting answered like mamash like this, and we're like, you know, segetnisht. So what's the pshat? This is what her papa asked her by. So Abai answered back. Amarle, Kamoi, the early generations, have a mosri nafshayu akadushas Hashem. And then loy masira nafshin akadushas Hashem. They were mosir nefesh for kiddush Hashem. We're not mosir nefesh for kiddush Hashem. The Mor brings a story that they see what they used to do. The Mor brings a story that kihod or adab or ava chazilahu kusis to have his levisha karbelto b'shuka. She was wearing this bagot in the shuk. Either the baggage was, he felt that it was improper for a Bas Yisrael to wear, or he was worried about the possibility of Kalayim. He thought she was Jewish. She wasn't Jewish. Suffered the Bas Yisrael. He ripped it off of her. Igloy Milsa, the Kusis, turned out she wasn't Jewish. Shaimua Barbame Azuzi cost him 400 zuz. If you remember, 200 zuz, Bizman Chazal, was the pernos of a person for a whole year. One person could live a whole year, food, shelter, clothing, and 200 zuz. Right? So if it's a 400 zuz that he had to pay for this one act of tape, ripping off this clothing off this Bas Yisrael, that it wasn't even a Bas Yisrael, he was willing to do that. Okay? And that was them. But we don't take it that seriously. So Mor says a nusach of their moser nefesh for kedushas Hashem. Now, poshutaych mesiras nefesh means a person gives over his nefesh, right? He allows himself to be killed on kedushas Hashem. I remember once we were bachurim, one of my chaverim one time said, you know, we talk about, he has mesiras nefesh for terror. He says, excuse me, mesiras nefesh means you let yourself be killed on kedushas Hashem. You know, he gives up. You know, he only has meat once a week. That's not mesiras nefesh. That's what he said to me. You know, I mesiras nefesh there. I, you know, so I said, you're wrong. I got a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas says, and actually, remember that it's a place that's also a Russian, I think, in Baba Kama. Also, they use lots of mesiras nefesh. There's nobody being killed like Kiddush Hashem over here. There was no danger to life. And the Gemara calls it their mosir nafshon, mosir nafsayal kudushas Hashem. They're mosir nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. So what's the pshat? Why is the Taka called Mesiras Nefesh? Why is it called Mesiras Nefesh? So, I'm going to suggest one pshat, and I saw that Reb Chaim Friedlander in Sipsei Chaim says that pshat. He also says another pshat. One of the four Shem learns in Kriya Shema, you say in the first pasuk, V'haftas Hashem l'kecha b'chol l'vavacha, v'chol nafshacha, v'chol me'odecha. You love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your whole heart. So, Rashi says, you should get to a point of Avas Hashem that you're not conflicted. A person walks in, you know, I love my Kodesh Baruch Hu. I also love my cake. I love my bed. I love my schmoozing. I love my activities. I love a lot of other things. So every time I'm sitting down to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs, I'm conflicted. Should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? I'm conflicted. No, the whole mensch, Shein Yitzrecha. What's b'chol nafshecha? So Rashi says, if you'll notice, nafshecha, there's another pshat over there, which I call correctly, it's from the Sepurno. It says, b'chol nafshecha, says the word nefesh means rotzen. Im yesh es nafshechem, likbaras misim elefonai, beginning of Chayasara. If you have an interest, if you have a desire, im yesh es nafshechem, if you have a desire to help my wife, Sarah, to be buried, help me buy off this piece of property from Ephraim. So nefesh means desire. Whatever desires that you have, you give up for a Kodesh Baruch Hu instead. That's b'chol nafshecha. B'chol moedecha, different pshat in b'chol moedecha, but one pshat in b'chol moedecha, and each person has something which is unique about him. He has a ma'oid, something which he's ma'oid. He's very much. He's very good at this. He's very good at that. There's one element of the person's personality which is very. Take your very and give it to Kadosh Baruch Hu also. whatever that thing that you're unique at and that you're special at, and that's someone that defines you, you give it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you see, the word nafshecha means rotzen. So, the more I seem to saying is that Rabbi Abraham wasn't like this, you know, this zealot who loves running around, you know, throwing stones and ripping clothing off of people. It wasn't like something he would enjoy doing. But when I have a choice, it's a Bas Yisrael. I have to protect her. I have to make sure he's not doing something wrong. It's dangerous. See, even though he didn't want to, he overcame his desire. He was meiser his nefesh, his desire. What that which I desire, I overcome that for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what he says a different shot. He brings that shot also, but he says a different shot. He says that what the Mora means is person's kavod. A person's kavod, his self-worth, his self-confidence, his self-esteem, person's kavod, is dear to him as life. I'll prove it to you. There's people who suffered bizarreness in their life, terrible bizarreness. They still were healthy. Family, even money sometimes, but was still intact. And they took their lives. I can't live without my COVID. They can't deal with embarrassment. It means the person, the part of a person's ability to live is the ability to understand that he's valuable. A person is under the impression that he's not valued, his COVID has been impacted to the point that he feels that he's valueless. He takes his life. A person's willing to be mevaza his COVID. For Kiddush Hashem, he was Moshe Nefesh. He was Moshe Nefesh. Moshe Nefesh recovered of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he suggests. Kiddush Hashem, what is Kiddush Hashem? We talk about Kiddush Hashem. So again, so we know that the Pashut Shat in the Mora, Kiddush Hashem, the person will give away their life for the mitzvah. But what does the word Kiddush Hashem mean? The Rizal says that every time you say Yehi Shmei Rabbeinu Mevorach, every time you say Nekadesh Hashem Chol Ba'olam Kadosh Kadosh, you're becoming the mitzvah say Deraisa of Nikdash Tibasech Bnei Yisrael. You should have kavana when you say it to Mekayim the mitzvah say Deraisa of Nikdash Tibasech Bnei Yisrael. It's Pashas of Gemara. The Rosh Hashanah Kedusha needs a Sora. It's then by Kaddish by Kedusha. The Gemara calls it the Rosh Hashanah Kedusha. How do you know you need a Sora? Because it's Nikdash Tibasech Bnei Yisrael. What is that Kiddush that we're talking about? The opposite of Kiddush Hashem is Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem is the word, Chil comes from the word, the Zohar says from the word Chalal, a void, an emptiness. The Bereshit created the Bria, the Bereshit is everywhere. There's no Makom where you could not see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The presence of Kodesh Baruch Hu would have been so overwhelming that it would be impossible to have a concept of Bechira. So the Bereshit, as it were, created a Makom for a human being to perceive that the Bereshit is not there. I can stand here and say, you know what? I don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I can do whatever I want. Now there's a welcome for Bechira. He created a halal, a void. The Baal HaTanya says, interesting nusach, the Tanya says that the Russian created a Bria of Yesh Me'ayin. He says, but I think really the more correct way of saying it is the Russian created a Bria of Ayin Me'yesh. Barelim says Yesh. The Bereshit was everywhere. The Bereshit created a Bria of Ayin, where there seems to be nothingness, seems to be empty, seems to be the Bereshit was not there. The Bereshit created a Bria of Ayin out of the Bria of Yesh. Every Chil Hashem is when you strengthen that emptiness. That the Bereshit's presence is not there. Chas v'shalom. When a person says Kaddish, a person, and we answer Kaddish, the correct binyan of Kaddish, that there's a din. Whatever we say, davarship and kedusha, we don't just say like this. It's not covered. We first where there's a hazmona before benching. Rabbi Simon will mention, right? Then we say nevoreich. Right? Pershus Maranon, let us say the bracha. We say Nikadesh, and that's really said by the leader, Meikar, then the Pasha is only the Chazan should say it, not everybody else. That's why some people suggest that even if everybody else says it, that the Chazan should wait till everybody's finished before he says it out loud, because he's basically inviting the Tzibur to say, let's say Kedusha. The same way, the same thing with Kaddish. The Chazan is saying, let's go say Yeshmer Abba Mevorach. That is the correct mivna, the binyan of how Kaddish, Kedusha is set up. The same way Baruch Hu. They say, the Chazan says, let's say Baruch, and then everybody says Baruch Hashem. So we all get, the Chazan says that, and then we say Yeheshmer Abba Mevorach L'olam L'memia. So first, Mizmatzah, what is Yeheshmer Abba Mevorach? What do we say? We are saying the Kaddish Baruch Hu's shame. Shame means, shame is the way we refer to the Hashem's presence. Shem, the awareness of Hashem is, we call somebody by a name, that's how we refer to him. The person's name, which means the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be Mevorach, should be increased. So the person says, we're making a pledge. We are promising that through me, by the end of this day, before I go to bed, there's more awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. I filled up that hole. I filled up that void a little bit. That void is not, it's not, there's more godliness in the world. People are more aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through my actions, the Bechira has been lessened in a certain sense because people are more aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That void is filled. That's the act of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem doesn't mean that we're, you know, the person's getting up, you know. Kiddush Hashem takes place in the privacy of your own room. It's an empty room. It's just me. Do whatever I want. I can do something which is improper. No, Kaddish Baruch Hu is here, so I'm not going to do it. I filled up that void. That's Kiddush Hashem. Nobody has to know, nobody has to ever find out, but there's more Kaddish Baruch Hu in the Bria because I decided at that moment to control myself and do the right thing, but quite a Kaddish Baruch. Kiddush Hashem means in a place where it's embarrassing, but I get up and I say what's right, I do what's right, even though people are going to think I'm strange, but isn't a Kaddish Baruch Hu's covenant more important than mine? So I filled up, I made a statement that there's more Bria Olam, that everybody understands the value of covenant. And there's a currency which is greater than that. That means the Kaddish Baruch Hu is real. Kiddush Hashem means when a person who obviously represents Torah, Shem Shem is Hayba Yotcha. They say, look at that person. I want to be like that person, like the Moran Yuma says. Hey, what's considered Chil Hashem? The Moran says, Rabbi says, for example, me, I go into a store and I don't pay right away. And the opposite of Shem Shem is Hava Yotzeh, says if a person who acts proper and acts with and people say, look at that person, he learns Torah, look how great his midos are, look with the way he acts, I want my son to do that also. I'm increasing the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. Look what Torah does to a human being. And Chas V'Shalom, the Hepech of a person who's obviously representing Torah, does something which is the opposite of that. The person says, I don't want that for my children. We had a very nice, you know, when the Yeshiva Dola started, so there was some hisnagdus by members of the community. They felt it would detract financially from the Yeshiva. You know, have to support the Yeshiva Dola. The whole idea of bringing these Bachurmen, what the type of Bachurmen would be like, what they're going to do to the community, it was something which was foreign to them, etc. One of the individuals who was originally opposed to the yeshiva, so eventually yeshiva started, and his daughter married a bacher from the yeshiva. And one day, Daf Yomi was learning whatever they were learning, and one of the bacher, I think it was Shabbos, it must have been Shabbos, so it was a while back. Not two cycles ago. Right. So the yeshiva learned Shabbos second Seder. So Baruchim knew Shabbos. So one of the Baruchim said for them for a few days. And the Baal Bos comes up to me. He says, you know what? I wish I had another daughter. Because I like my daughter to marry such a young man. That's Kiddush Hashem. He saw this young man for 2 or 3 days, said the shir. He made an impression to the point, I want my daughter to be like, to marry such a person. And that's a mind-boggling thing. You live in the community, Baruch Hashem, you know, you come in now, the community is a little more moved, shift to the world of Torah. But 12 years ago, that wasn't the reality. 14 years ago, that wasn't the reality. Many people, and they're wondering, where do I send my children? What school do I send my children to? What type of life will I let them, you know, pursue a life of Torah mitzvahs? And I saw a young man act nice in such a way, I said, that's what I want. That action can change a person's life. That's Kiddush Hashem. That's a power. And sometimes the issues are minimal issues, you know, something which we don't necessarily even think about. My brother-in-law, Zin Starkstein, when he was in St. Louis, so besides being the head of the Vada Ir, which is why he went there, there was a shul which that had an elderly Rav, which eventually was Nifter when he was there, so they asked him to take over the shul. It's an old shul called Beis Medrash HaGadol. Once upon a time, that had been the main shul in the city, but at this point in time, it was in decline. I mean, it was not much in decline. The Rav was actually a Talmud Chacham, I think it was actually European. The kila was some leftover, like, you know, a handful of old yidden. They have no shaykhs, no shaykhs. My brother-in-law told me, I mean, I'll give you one mashal. He put out a sefer, Rabbi Magenzi, Allah Hashem, Rabbi Magenzi, put out a sefer, Mogen Tzvi, put out a sefer. I came there for a visit, so the president of the shul asked Rabbi Rosen, do you think your brother-in-law, Rabbi Rangel, could read Hebrew? He'd be able to understand this book? We'd like to give him a copy. Like, that's not like they were so far removed from the world of Torah that they had no idea that I could read a Hebrew book. Like, you know, can you read a Hebrew book? Like, he says, yeah, he can read a Hebrew book better than you all you put together. Right? That was my, it's good, give him a copy, you know. You know. But at Hanukkah Masiba, after my brother told me, but at Hanukkah Masiba, when Rabbi Gensi was still alive, so, like, you know, he was saying a Shikol Torah, and, you know, so he paused for a moment and says, Rabbi, is it time for the raffle? He's in the middle of Shikol Torah, like, you know, no. Yeah, thing is on with the Shikol Torah. He pauses her breath again. Rabbi, now time for the raffle. I mean, like, this world, no shaykhs. Good. So I'm there for Yom Tov one time. My young nephew walks in. He doesn't say good Shabbos to one of the Balabat. Well, you know, he's a little kid. He's 6 years old. Young man, where is your good Shabbos? For that person, Yiddishkeit was good Shabbos. For that person, Kiddush Hashem is good Shabbos. Noticing him and saying good Shabbos. That's all you need to do. Notice me and say good Shabbos. And if you didn't say good Shabbos to me, Yiddishkeit is worthless. That's his world. The power of what it means to be an obvious representative of the Torah. Now, I have to tell you, person lives in Lakewood, New Jersey. Person lives, so, you know, he walks down the street and he sees another yeshiva guy, so it's not a question of Kiddush Hashem, you know. Whatever they think about the yeshiva bachur, whatever they think, they know without you. But not when you walk the streets of Silver Spring. And even Lakewood, New Jersey, I have to tell you, when you walk into the Goyish store over there and you act a certain way to the cashier, it makes a difference. Makes a difference. And that's the responsibility of Ben Torah. The Chazal said, Shem Shema means Ival Yotcha. Because Baruch Hu's name will be beloved through you. And a person engages us. Somebody told me, said, okay, you, those of you who travel have traveled the Silver Spring New York routes, you know that one of the favorite haunts for getting gasoline is the Flying J at the bottom of New Jersey, right? I've almost had a minion there sometimes, you know, met a minion of Yidden over there. But how many of you can claim that you walk into the place over there, they know you by name? So I know one Yid, he says, listen, usually ends up coming there like 1:30 in the morning. You walk to the place at 1:30 in the morning, you don't just stop and buy things and walk out. You say, hello, how are you? You must be late, how are you doing, etc. What's your name? Oh, Rabbi so-and-so. You know, and when he comes in there, See, he told me a story. He was traveling to a random. He says, "A random, you'll see that when I go in, they can know my name." He says, "Don't give me this." He pulls up and says, "Rabbi so and so, hi, how are you?" I don't believe this. You know, the Muslim of a mensch. Right? Hello, a thank you, a goodbye. Because you're the Baruch Hashem's, you're wearing Kadosh Baruch Hu on your lapel. I voted today. You know, the Legionnaires, you have this little pin. You know, they're from, you know, Jewish war veterans. You know, Knights of Columbus. Right. So we have our lapel. We have a little pin over there. It says, "God's people." What can I tell you? It's an awesome responsibility. I just saw an article today. A fellow runs a used furniture store, etc. He gets a phone call. The guy's called up. He says, you know, he has $700 to spend. He needs to furnish an apartment. That's what's called a buffet apartment, something like that. You know, it's like one room basically. He needs a bed. He needs a table. The guy says, you know, we can make it happen. Comes down because he has his 10,000 square foot warehouse with different types of stuff. The guy comes in. The owner's a yid, right? Comes down over there. The guy walks in. He's like 6'2", skinhead, Jews. Okay, that's what it says in his tattoo, something like that. You know, Jews and blacks go to. Okay, great. So he looks like over, does he have anything on him which would be dangerous, like any knives, guns, etc., you know. So he takes the guy around and they find everything he needs for his apartment. It's $1,000. He says, you know what, I'll give it to him for $700. He says, okay. So, you know, helps him load the stuff on the truck. He says, you know, you're sweaty, it's sweaty, come in, I'll give you a drink. Sits the guy down. Gives him a Coke, cold Coke. The two of them says, do you believe what you wrote over there? The guy doesn't have anything on him, so he thinks he's safe, you know. Right, do you believe what you wrote over there? He says, yeah, I believe it. He says, what do you know about Jews? What do you know about blacks? He says, I grew up with the blacks, they're nice people. The guy says, and he starts, you know, giving this whole list of what Jews are. He says to the guy, do you have any connection to your parents? He says, no, lost connected to his parents. Why? He says, once upon a time, you know, you were like a lovable little kid. What happened? He says, by the way, I'm Jewish. No, can't be. Jew. Kids, he schmoozes with the guy for a while. Guy walks out. Never shall ever see him again. He comes back a few years later. Guy comes back with hair on his head, looking normal, like, you know, not no leather jacket, you know. And he's had his tattoo removed. He says, I was until you said I got to connect to my parents again. He says, did you connect to your parents? He says, yeah, I connect to my parents again. And we're back to a normal life. Gave the guy a few minutes. He gave the guy COVID. That's life. He gave a person life. He noticed him. He said, you're worthwhile enough to me to sit down and schmooze. And the results are mind-boggling. There's a story. The story is mind-boggling. It's a woman who's a doctor. She comes home into her house. She's been out. The babysitter has the two kids. You know, the housekeeper has the two kids. She walks into the realizes there's an intruder in the house. This big black guy. African-American fellow. With a knife. She walks into the kitchen, the guy's there with the knife. About twice her size. She has a heart problem. She can't get excited. It's not healthy for her. She'll have a heart attack. She realizes that the housekeeper and the kids are out of the house. Apparently they must have left. She asks him, how'd you get in? He says, back door was open. She realizes that the housekeeper left the back door open. She says, you want a cup of tea? This is a Jewish woman, yeah. She says, so you look like you haven't eaten something recently. I'll give me, can you give me something to eat? He doesn't know what to hit him. Are you normal? She says, ma'am, he says to her, ma'am, says, listen, I have a heart problem. I can't get excited. Look, you're having something, I'm going to give you something to eat. So he makes her, she makes him a cup of tea. She sits him down and says, drink. You know, she sits down and she drinks, joins him for a cup of tea. Jewish women, yeah. I can see my, you know, well, later it happened, but I can see some ladies that I know, I see them doing this, you know. So I'm like, you know, why do you do this? When you get like a real job, says he tried, can't keep a job. So she gave him some mussar, you know, got to get a real job. She says, I'll help you, make you some connections for you. And the guy, of course, put the knife away. I mean, he first thought he put the knife on the table, you know, like put the knife away. He said, man, lady, you're one lady with a lot of guts. And he says, she writes the story. She says that every once in a while he'd call in, and he'd say, you know, there's some activity going on in your neighborhood, but I'm watching your house. I'm protecting your house. He says, yeah, she said, I'm watching your car. She said, why don't you know, she always said, try and like, to get the guy, like, Yiddish mom, I don't care whether he's Jewish, not Jewish, the color he is, you know, guy gotta get a job. You know, you gotta just get my loser, you gotta get a job. But I can guarantee you that he had a different view of what it means to be a person, what it means to be a Jewish person, what it means to be a Jewish mother, what it means to be a yid the rest of his life. And that's the power we can do. That's the power we can do. You don't have to, you know, phase up, you know, Michigan kind of guys, you know. But you walk into a store, you say, hello, how are you? You walk out of it. That's Mesiras Nefesh. You gave a person a Nefesh. You gave a person a Nefesh. You gave him his covet. It means sometimes sticking down to the Gemara when you don't want to do it. Because you're Mesiras Nefesh. You give up your desire. Mesiras Nefesh means that it's 7:15 in the morning, the Mesiras is waiting for you. Why did I come and there's not a minion? I want to stay in bed. The person says, yeah, but I want you in base matters. I give away my nefesh, my desire for a Kodesh Baruch. It means something's wrong. Some guy's sitting in the shmuz and saying Lashon Hara. Say, excuse me, you can't do that. Well, what are you coming from me? What's your problem? You're from doubt. Nerdy, greaseball, whatever name you want to call it, right? You know, Neb, right? But it's wrong. Well, you're weird. Yeah, but I'm weird, but you're wrong. And if you would say it with the right, the true conviction, then you know that you're right. And they know that you're right. And you know that they know that you're right. They're going to back down. Because nothing stands in front of it. That's the Kayach of Kiddush Hashem.